Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Chill out. You know, drink a 7-Up. Eat a moon pie. Quit murdering people.
Check, check, check. Testing 1, 2. Hey, how is everyone doing today? Hope you guys are having a great day. Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys have enjoyed your day so far. If you haven't already done it, go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. Make sure you subscribe and hit that bell button, because when you hit that bell button, you're going to get alerted to any time I go live or upload any brand new content. A couple of ways you can get a hold of me. You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com, or leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. So I was on with Tom and Dan today. It was on at 11 a.m. this morning. If you go to their Twitch channel, it's twitch.tv/TomandDanLive. And we were talking about quite a few things, but if you do get a chance, make sure you check out their podcast. It's A Mediocre Time with Tom and Dan. You can find them on social media at Daniel Dennis and at Tom Van. But one of the things we got into was talking about Thanksgiving traditions. And it's funny how I have all these stories and stuff that have happened to me all throughout my life, and I forget about them until, you know, like a certain thing or a question gets asked and it triggers something in your mind. And it did with me today, because I was remembering about, you know, one of the first times I actually had to slaughter an animal for Thanksgiving or any of these other like traditions. And because my birthday does fall every 4 years on Thanksgiving, not this year, but next year on the 24th is when Thanksgiving will be, is when my birthday will fall on that. But the year that I was 12 going into 13, November 24th, it was a Thanksgiving, and it was the first time that I had to slaughter one of the animals that we raised. And I don't know if it was always a good idea. I know that it was probably a way for my dad to maybe even toughen me up a little bit more. But we would keep these animals for quite a while. You got to remember, I was an only child. So I didn't have a lot of friends, because we lived maybe 4 or 5 miles away from our closest neighbor. And so I would bond with a lot of the farm animals that we have. Not in the way that you sickos probably are thinking of, but what I'm trying to say is that we had a turkey by the name of Harvey. It wasn't like a Lee Harvey Oswald thing or whatever. It was Harvey. Harvey, we used to feed spaghetti all the time. It was like, you know, shows you we didn't have a lot to do out on the old farm. So anytime we had leftover spaghetti or we had spaghetti that night, oh, it was entertainment. Entertainment for a while, because Harvey, you haven't lived until you have watched a turkey eat spaghetti with marinara sauce. It's like one of the funniest things in the world. And, you know, me and Harvey kind of formed a bond with each other, per se, as much as a boy and a turkey could. By the way, I think this cat, I'll get back into the turkey story. This cat that I got that has kind of adopted us, I think it might be broken. And the reason that I'm saying that is because I went on a walk today. I go walking every single day. And I also run as well, too. But then I ended up getting back, and I turn around, and I see the cat is following me like a dog. What cat follows their owner when they go on a walkabout, and then you turn around and the cat is following you like a goddamn dog. So I guess I have always had these like weird bonds with animals and stuff. But I remember that Thanksgiving, Dad probably and most likely wanted me to form a bond, consider what animal I was going to have to slaughter as a friend, just to like toughen me up a little bit more. Because you got to remember, I was a big mama's boy growing up. I was a big, humongous mama's boy growing up because my dad was gone all the time. My dad didn't start spending a lot of time until I started getting into baseball, and dad wanted to support that, and dad started coaching. He would get off of work earlier every day so he could come and watch me pitch and teach me and do all that good stuff. But I do remember that. And that was the first animal that I actually had to kill, clean, butcher, you know, carve up, get ready, bring it in to mom. Mom had to cook it. And I got to tell you, it was a little traumatic at first. It was weird eating Harvey, but it did teach me a lesson. It taught me a lesson that a lot of people in the United States or pretty much around in these first world countries that really don't ever have to rely on, you know, kind of feeding themselves or living off the land. They can just go to the store and buy whatever they want to buy. And I think it did. Maybe it could have been a little traumatic for me. But I also think it's impossible for a parent not to, like, accidentally put a little bit of trauma on them or on their kids. I mean, it's just adults, they were not instinctually like cats and dogs and stuff where it's just you got to teach them the basics. No. You know, like humans on the grand scheme of thing have not been around for a very, very long time. So it's taken us a little bit of time to get this whole how you're supposed to act, how you're supposed to treat people, what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do with a kid, not to screw them up in the future. Maybe one day we'll get there. I mean, it's the same thing when you're talking about racism. You know, you're not born racist, you're taught racism. That's a little bit of trauma. But I would like to hear from you guys. You know, I gave out my voicemail, I gave out my email, but I would like to hear from you. Like, what are some of the traditions you've had during the holidays that weren't as traumatic as mine? Stuff that you did on Thanksgiving, things that you did on Christmas, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. That was also another thing that I talked about with Daniel on today's show, that when I was a young kid, I never got to play with any of my cool-ass toys. I never got a chance to, you know, the big-time toys that we would get. I never got a chance to play with those because we would get up, we would go to my mom's parents for Christmas. We'd probably do Christmas lunch there. Then we would head over to Gainesville on the other side of the state from DeLand and stay the night over there and then leave the next day and come home. So I had to wait a full, like, almost 30, 36 hours before I ever had a chance to play with the big-time toys that I ended up getting as a kid. But I would also like to hear, you know, I mean, I'm not talking, I don't need to hear your big traumatic stories, stuff that traumatized you as a kid, but maybe those weird little things, those little small, tiny, minute things that affected you later on in life that maybe wasn't purposely done by your parents, but it just was a mistake on their part. Love to hear from you. 407-270-3044. And the first news story I want to get in and kind of discuss a little bit, I am just completely shocked, but I should not be shocked. You know, everybody wants to talk about justice is blind. Justice is not blind. And yes, there is and there are a lot of racial decisions that go into it. That's why everybody makes such a big deal about black or white being on the jury. like that Aubrey or Audrey, whatever kid that got killed, those three racist assholes up in Georgia that just killed a kid that was out jogging and stuff. But, I mean, I also think it has a little bit more to do with class as well, too. Because there are so many people out there that have been dead to rights. The ones that we have so much evidence against you, and they still get off somehow, some way. You want to know why? Because they're rich, their family has connections, and they probably donate to a lot of these politicians, probably could have even helped this judge. I know that judges aren't elected, they're appointed, but, you know, the politician that put them in probably could have gotten money from this family. But this kid, this 20-year-old kid, yes, still young, but ended up raping four girls in a span of 2 years at one of his parents', I guess, rich-ass, like, vacation homes. And the kid is not going to do, well, he's not a kid now. He was tried as an adult. But he's not going to do a goddamn day in jail. And guess what? If that was me or any of you guys out there listening right now, there is no way. We all would have been in jail, and we would be in jail for a very, very long time.
Through treatment and reflection, I've come to feel deep shame and regret for my actions. None of you deserve to be in this situation.
20-year-old Christopher Belter addressed the courtroom before sentencing for the rape and sexual assault of four teenage girls.
And think about this, guys. We're not talking about statutory rape. We're talking about rape. I know that they're both rape because a minor can't, you know, give consent to be able to have sex or whatever with somebody that's an adult. But come the F on. This is rape. He forcibly had sex with these teenage girls. And does anybody even believe the BS that he's reading? You know, this was all written. His rich-ass daddy or rich-ass lawyer hired a speechwriter just to be able to write this. Because this is all before the sentencing went down. And then when this judge needs to be thrown. His ass needs to be thrown out on the street. Never, ever to be able to practice law again. Even as a public defender. No. This guy has no business being anywhere near a court of law.
I know, though, that a scar will remain that will serve as a reminder of the evil of that night.
Some of his victims were in the courtroom for his sentencing when Niagara County Court Judge Matthew Murphy handed down his sentence of 8 years probation.
And the very, very sad thing about this is that one of these fathers of these girls that was raped could go out, kill this kid, and I'm telling you right now, if I was on that jury, I don't know if I could ever, like, throw that guy in jail or make him do a day in jail in his life for you know, killing, because it's not that he was not found not guilty. He was found guilty, not innocent, guilty. So now in the court of law, it's been proven that he's guilty. And I would not blame one of these fathers of these girls if they wanted, and they did, pull out and got retribution, even if it was blowing his penis off with a shotgun or killing him. I could not find any of those fathers guilty if they retaliated against the man that raped one of their daughters.
That means Belter won't serve a day behind bars for the crimes that happened at his family's Lewiston home from 2017 to 2018. Belter was sentenced as an adult after Judge Murphy denied him youthful offender status for violating his probation by bypassing monitoring software on his computer to view pornography.
Okay, so now if you're a rich little asshole like this guy is, and you are so horny that you gotta rape girls, you are such a horrible human being that no woman ever could find you attractive, and that's why you gotta do this, Or it's more of a power thing because you come from a rich family and you think power is everything. So you're just going to take whatever you want. But then you can't even be on your P's and Q's and you bypass to go look at porn. This kid has no place in society. I'm sorry. Maybe, once again, he could be a victim of childhood trauma. But we also do have to end the cycle. We have to end the cycle. And that's the only way that this stuff is ever going to go away is to be able to get, we're going to have to, like, I know it's going to sound very, very super soldier-like, but we're going to have to breed out the rapists. We're going to have to breed out just the learned behavior. And why is this guy, why is this this father and family not being held on trial as well too? Because this all happened in their house. Why are they not being held responsible for watching out for their rapist little son?
But Judge Murphy decided prison time would be inappropriate.
I agonized. I'm not ashamed to say that I actually prayed over what is the...
Did this guy just say he prayed over making his decision? Right there, that's where I would be the prosecution. I would stand up immediately and call for a mistrial so this kid can be tried again, because there's no way, there's no need for a judge. If you're a judge and you're praying on making decisions when it comes to a court of law, you, my friend, I'm not even going to call you my friend. You're a piece of crap. Praying to God should have no, like, action or judgment on this whole deal. It shouldn't happen. God, what the hell are we doing?
Appropriate sentence in this case. Because there was great pain, there was great harm, there were multiple crimes committed in the case.
There was multiple people hurt, there was multiple victims, there were multiple rapes that happened, but in my opinion, because I prayed to God, that, and now I'm starting to sound like a Hindu.
No, I'm not trying to sound that way. What I'm trying to say is I'm just trying to act like a slow-ass judge with a 62 IQ. You just admit it, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. A lot of bad things happen, but guess what, buddy? You're not going to do a day in jail.
Attorney Steve Cohen represents one of the victims and is outraged with the sentence. Cohen says there were zero consequences for violating his previous probation.
He is privileged. He comes from money. He is white.
Are they interviewing this guy in a bathroom stall? Was he pinching a turd the whole time? Waiting for the judge to lay down the sentence, and he was like, all right, I'm sorry, I know you're a rape, but I got to go really pinch one off real quick. So he goes right into the bathroom. The lawyers or the anchors, the journalists, they can't even wait for this guy to get done. So they just probably got the microphones right under the bathroom stall.
For he's being sentenced as an adult appropriately, and for an adult to get away with these crimes without doing jail time is unjust.
I bet that long pause, that long dramatic pause, a lot of people think he was probably doing that just to make himself, like, look cooler. No, I think he was actually wiping. He was definitely wiping during that dramatic pause.
His client was clearly upset and in tears when the sentence was read.
I believe she's in the bathroom throwing up right now.
I'm shocked that you didn't hear a big shuffling, bustling. Like, the reporter's like, oh my God, she's in there throwing up. We got to get this on tape. If I'm just being honest, I'd be the same way too. Even though she is a rape victim, I mean, I'm just doing my job, people. I'm just doing my job. And if she's in the bathroom throwing up, that is some golden audio.
Excuse me.
During the sentencing, the prosecutor told the court calling the home where the acts occurred a party house was a disservice to all the victims.
It was not a party house case, Judge. It was a house sexual assault.
Okay, why? All right. If this little bastard's not going to do a day, then go after the parents. He didn't own that house. The parents should have been keeping a better eye on their little bastard of a kid. Maybe should have had the security a little bit tighter at this other home that you guys obviously were not at. Why are they, go after them. Sue them for some money. I know that it's not going to help when it comes to, these girls that were raped, but guess what? The only reason this little mother effer got off of this is because his parents had money. So why not chop them off right at the knees in the thing that they like more than anything, and that's their money.
That is what happened there. That is not something that we should look past.
Belter must follow an extensive list of probation rules that the judge says will be like a sword hanging over his head.
If I'm being honest, I would be willing to bet this little asshole, he thinks that he's bigger than anybody, is going to end up violating his probation. And guess what? What's going to happen? He's still not going to do any jail time. I almost guarantee you he will not do any jail time. He will do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and that judge is going to be the little lapdog of his rich-ass parents and the politician that put you behind that seat.
He must register as a sex offender, and he will be back in court on December 2nd. It will be decided whether he is a level 1, 2, or 3 sex offender. Eileen Buckley, 7 Eyewitness News.
I don't want anybody to think that I'm actually hating on this next guy. Matter of fact, good for him. Because I thought one of the funniest TV shows in my late 20s, early 30s was The Office. I really did think, and I love The Office. I love the original one that Ricky Gervais did. I also like the one with Steve Carell. But the thing that I love the most about The Office is these little small bit characters. The ones that did not get a lot of screen time. The ones that did not get a lot of lines or did not even get mentioned. Like, my favorite Office character was Creed. Creed Bratton. I absolutely loved him. Like, when he was on, he made the best of his time. And maybe that's why I liked him so much. Because there were so many years when I worked in radio that I was not in the studio all the time. I only got used when they needed me for a bit or to do some man on the street stuff. But I made the best of my time. Now, Kevin was another one. Now, I can't remember the actor's name, but Kevin has been doing a lot of these cameos. I don't know if you know what cameo is, but it's where, you know, you can pay, I guess, like somebody you like or a celebrity to send like a loved one a message, or, you know, they can mention your name if you want to be selfish and all. But the guy that plays Kevin, he has made over $1 million from cameo alone. Good for him. But it also makes me feel really, really crappy about my life.
You, cameo. I view it not about me. And part of it is, I think, is...
All right, this guy, I know he's already made $1 million off of cameo, but why are you not doing the Kevin character? Because, trust me, I know a lot of people are not, like, paying you to do this voice. They want you to do the Kevin character, the character that they know and they love from The Office. So why aren't you doing the interview as Kevin? Do you know how many more cameos that you could be selling right now if you were full into it? You went full Kevin on it?
Who I am on the show. This is not about me. This is not about getting a message from me. This is how I view it. I view it as an attempt of two people who want to make a connection, a father and his daughter that used to watch the show together.
I wonder how much it would cost, like if he like reenacted that whole like scene where he makes the chili and he comes into the office and he dumps it all over the ground. How many times do you think that's been requested? Hey, man, I don't even know this guy's name, but hey, can you do the Kevin scene while you send a message to my wife, while you're dropping a vat of chili, while you're trying to scrape it up off the carpet, you actually read the message that I want? I mean, that right there would cost you probably a good $10,000, maybe even $15,000.
Now maybe she's away at school or is in another town, and they want to make a connection. And so they give this message for me because it brings them back to a moment that they actually shared together. as long as I keep focused on that, and how much people seem to be enjoying it, then it's been actually very, very rewarding.
Blah, 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 blah. Sounds like the actor that plays Kevin's kind of gotten a little full of himself. I mean, I would, too, if I made $1 million just sending, like, little 30-second messages to people. A lot of people don't even send them. You know, that's the sad thing about it. Like, they'll make it seem like, oh, can you send a cameo to such and such? No. I would say 90% of the people that buy one of these cameos is to have their own name mentioned by the said celebrity that they could use. Matter of fact, I wonder if I could use Cameo, like, get some B-list people to, like, read some, like, welcome back to the Total Daily Podcast. This is John Stamos. I bet John Stamos is doing them somewhere. Just saying. Might want to look into that. Vulture, if you're listening to this, let's see. Let's start getting some price ranges on some of these, like, little B-list celebrities and see what we can get them to read and not read. But I don't understand why this always happens. I know that it happens because, oh, it's night and that's one of... Well, the moon's out during the day as well, too. But why is this stuff always got to happen, like, at 2 or 3 in the morning? Longest partial lunar eclipse in nearly 600 years coming tonight. The longest partial lunar eclipse in nearly 600 years will grace the night sky late Thursday night and early Friday across the entire country, weather permitting. It's going to be kind of hard to see it here because it is overcast as hell, so I'm not even going to try to stay up. According to NASA, the eclipse will last 3 hours and 28 minutes, the longest partial eclipse of this century and the longest in 580 years. For East Coast observers, the partial eclipse begins a little after 2 a.m. Friday and reaches its maximum at 4 in the morning. For observers on the West Coast, it begins just after 11 p.m. Thursday and reaches a maximum at 1 a.m. See, that's why you guys on the West Coast, you got a little bit, you know, when our days are wrapping up, you guys are just about getting off. You guys got a little bit more time. I know it's the same amount of time. I just think it's kind of cool to, you know, see how it is to live on the West Coast. Or I would like to hear from you guys. I'm sure there's some downsides. Like, there's downsides to living on the East Coast. I'm sure there's downsides to living on the West Coast. But, and you don't need any special glasses to see it. Yes, because you're not looking at the sun. Are people really that dumb? Partial lunar eclipses might not be quite as spectacular as a total lunar eclipse, where the moon is completely covered in the Earth's shadow, but they occur more frequently, NASA said. Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be cool. I always try to go out. They're never, ever going to be able to make a camera phone that I don't care. Like, they can, iPhone 14, 15, 16, I will switch any phone service if any of these phones can promise me a good picture of the moon, because no matter how good it looks on my viewfinder, it just never, ever comes out right. And I don't think it ever will. I remember back in the day during the Hale-Bopp comet. Remember the comet Hale-Bopp? That was the one where the Heaven's Gate people thought that there was a spaceship behind the comet. I think those were the people that, like, killed themselves. I don't know if that was the one that did it in the tennis shoes, but they did it some other way. I think the men also had to castrate themselves. And then you got to, not a lot of people realize this. Mark Twain, born. All right. Well, you know what? This could be one of those things that my dad told me back in the day that might not be true, and I've never looked it up. But he always told me that Mark Twain was born on the day of Halley's Comet and died on the day of Halley's Comet, which I thought was really, really, really interesting. Anyways, enough with the nerd talk. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketBearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Siroc. Show voiceover services brought to you by jcvoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two D's .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.